Okay. We'll do a Vaishnava Vigapati.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidacharya Altsutada Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatanada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Friends say, Koho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaidhanam Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopikopanath Sai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuranam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yumunamai kajai, Srimati Tulasi Devi kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhakt. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, just enlighten my own Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirashesha Shunyavani Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. Hold on a second, let me adjust this. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So welcome to the evening or the morning class in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're on the 20th chapter of the Majjhalila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in this chapter we're going to hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interactions with Sanatana Goswami and ultimately the teachings to Sanatana Goswami. So without further ado, let's see, I need my glasses. Without further ado, we're going to go to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda,
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Whoops. Oh, that's good. Okay. Oh, right. So, let's continue. So, text 82. I need my glasses. Sanatanera vairagye prabhura nanda para bota kambalapani prabhu chahi bare para. All right. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness to observe Sanatana Goswami's strict following of the principles of sannyasa. However, he repeatedly glanced at the woolen blanket Sanatana Goswami was wearing. So let me fill you in on what's been happening. That when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi, Sanatana Goswami had a beard and long hair, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You better clean yourself up and become clean shaven." And Prabhupada said, he wanted his disciples always to remain clean shaven. Okay, that's one point. And then he told Sanatana Goswami, you know, wear some clean clothes. So Sanatana Goswami was offered some new clothes by Chandrasekhar and then Tapan Mishra, and Sanatana Goswami refused to accept the new clothes. He said, just give me one of your old clothes. And he took one of the old clothes of Tapan Mishra and ripped it and made himself a little gamsha, a lungi like that, and some sort of shawl for the top. And so Lord Chaitanya was very happy to hear that, that Sanatana Goswami was not interested in wearing new clothes. Okay. Secondly, Sanatana Goswami was invited by the Maharashtrian Brahmin to take prasadam at his house every day. And Sanatana Goswami said, no, I will not. I want to go and do madhukari. Madhukari means you go to different people's houses and you beg a little bit from each person's house. And that way you're not a burden on any particular individual and you also don't get attached. So that was another thing. But there was one other thing that Lord Chaitanya wanted to see Sanatana Goswami do. And that had to do with the woolen blanket that Sanatana Goswami had. Now, he had that woolen blanket because on his way to Varanasi, he was given it by his brother-in-law, Srikant. And it was a beautiful, beautiful knit woolen blanket. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept looking at it. When is he going to give that up? Because the sannyasi should not wear fine clothes, nor think of women even in dreams, and you know, all sorts of different instructions, nor be running here and there to satisfy the tongue. So these are the different injunctions for a sannyasi. So anyway, so what happened is that Lord Chaitanya was wondering, looking at that woolen blanket, let's hear what happens. Ooh. Sanatana janila ki prabhura prabhure na bhaya bota chaga karibare chintila upaya. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly glancing at this valuable woolen blanket, Sanatana Goswami could understand that the Lord did not approve of it. He then began to consider a way to give it up. Now, normally, if someone's glancing at something that we have, that means they want it. Like someone's glancing at my computer. That means that someone wants it. And so, or glancing at my prasadam is even worse. So then I would just offer my prasadam to that person, because if someone looks enviously at what you're eating, then what you're eating can become poisonous. Because he injects, or he or she injects, their envy into that prasadam, into that food. So, but Sanatana Goswami understood very clearly that Lord Chaitanya did not want the woolen blanket, And so then he thought, Lord Chaitanya doesn't approve of it. I have to give it up. So how am I going to give it up? Now, this is a very interesting story how he gave it up. Eta chanti kela gangaya madhyana karite eka gaurya kandatuna diache shukaite. Thinking in this way, Sanatan went to the bank of the Ganges to bathe. While there he saw a mendicant from Bengal had washed his quilt and spread it out to dry. So this quilt that he was looking at, that the mendicant had, was like a patchwork quilt. Now sometimes if you, let's say, don't have much clothes, then you take different patches of clothes or pieces of cloth from other people's clothes or your old clothes and just put them all together just to give you something to wear. Dare kahe orabai karupa kare evotalanahe kantadeha more. Sanatana Goswami then told the Bengali mendicant, my dear brother, please do me a favor. Trade me your quilt for this woolen blanket. Segahi rahashikara pramanhigahana mahumulya botadiva kena kantalana. The mendicant replied, sir, you are a respectable gentleman. Why are you joking with me? Why would you trade your valuable blanket for my torn quilt? Teno kahe rahasyanahi kahe sachavani botalaha tumideha more kanta kani. Sanatana said, I'm not joking. I'm speaking the truth. Kindly take this blanket in exchange for your torn quilt. Eta bali kanta laila botatanre diya goshaniera taniaila kanta gale diya. Saying this, Sanatana Goswami exchanged the blanket for the quilt. He then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the quilt on his shoulder. Prabhu kahe tomara volta kambala kota gela Prabhupade sabakata kata kata goshani kahila. When Sanatana Goswami returned, the Lord asked, where is your woolen blanket? Sanatana Goswami then narrated the whole story to the Lord. So Prabhu kai iha ami kariyachi vichara vishaya roga kondoila krishna ye tumara se kene rakibe tumara shesha vishaya bhoga roga kandi sadvaidya narake shesha roga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, I have already deliberately considered this matter. Since Lord Krishna is very merciful, he has nullified your attachment for material things. Why should Krishna allow you to maintain a last bit of material attachment? After vanquishing a disease, a good physician does not allow any of the disease to remain. However, let me explain something right now. Krishna may give us material things to use in his service. That's called yukta vairagya. So it's not that we have to be like Sanatana Goswami, because we're doing a certain type of preaching in a certain location, so we need certain facility for service. But if one takes more than is necessary, then at that particular point, that more than necessary becomes an entanglement. I'm going to increase the volume. Just give me a second. It's not loud enough. Just make it a little louder for all you. And it's probably all right, but just make it a little louder. So that taking more than needed. And of course, that's mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Upadesha, right? What is it? That to avoid having your bhakti hurt, you should avoid certain things. And first one is, oh, collecting too much or eating too much. So one should eat the right amount and collect what's necessary for one's maintenance. And use what's necessary. Just for example, I'm using computers. So one may say, you're not very renounced. You're using a computer. I'm using a car. You're not very renounced. Well, I'm using that in Krishna's. I'm not using the car to go places for my own sense gratification. I'm using it for Krishna. So that's Yukta Vairagya. So don't worry. If you're using something for Krishna, being practical in this world, Krishna's not going to ask you to give it up. If you need it for Krishna's service. Tina mudra rabhotakaya madhukari grasa dharma hani haya loka kari upahasa. It is contradictory to practice madhukari and at the same time wear a valuable blanket. One loses his spiritual strength by doing this, and one will also become an object of jokes. I better get rid of all my valuable chatters. Goshani kahe ye kandila kuvishaya boga tanri chaya gela mora shesha vishaya roga. Natan Goswami replied, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has saved me from the sinful life of material existence by his desire. My last piece of material attraction is now gone." And also Sanatana Goswami and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, other Goswamis of Vrindavan, were meant to show extreme renunciation. In this day and age, that extreme renunciation is not for us. We should satisfy our basic needs, but maximize our hearing and chanting of Krishna's names. And don't worry, don't imitate. Follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, but don't imitate them. And if you try to imitate them and you're not on the level of the six Goswamis, and I'm certainly not on the level of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, you will go crazy. Believe me. Prasanahana Prabhu Tanre Kripa Kaila Tanra Kripaya Prashna Karite Tanra Shakti Hoila. Being pleased with Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon him. By the Lord's mercy, Sanatana Goswami received the spiritual strength to inquire from him. Purvi Ache Raya Pashe Prabhu Prashna Kaila Tanra Shakti Ramananda Tanra Utara Dila Prashnakare Sanatana Apane Mahaprabhu Kare Formerly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask Ramananda Roy spiritual questions, and by the Lord's causeless mercy, Ramananda Roy could properly reply. Now, by the Lord's mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned the Lord, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally supplied the truth. Best teacher in all the world. Krishna Swarupa Madhuryaish Varyabhakti Rasashrayam Tatvam Sanatanayisha Kripayopadidesha Saha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally told Sanatana Goswami about Lord Krishna's real identity. He also told him about the Lord's conjugal love, his personal opulence, and the medals of devotional service. All these truths were explained to Sanatana Goswami by the Lord himself out of his causeless mercy. Wow. Tabe Sanatana Prabhura Charane Dariya Dainya Vinatat Kare Dandi Trina Lana. putting a straw in his mouth and bowing down, Sanatana Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly spoke as follows. Nicha jati nicha sangi patita dama kuvishyaya kupe pari kunainu janama. Sanatana Goswami said, I was born in a low family. My associates are all low-class men. I myself am fallen, and I am the lowest of men. Indeed, I have passed my whole life fallen in the well of sinful materialism. Actually, Sanatana Goswami belonged to a Brahmin family because he belonged to the Saraswata division of the Brahmanas and was well-cultured and well-educated. Somehow or other, he accepted a ministership in the Muslim government. Therefore, he had to associate with meat-eaters, drunkards, and gross materialists. It's actually interesting. I'm here at the university and interacting and trying to bring some students to Krishna consciousness, and somehow I have to associate with meat-eaters, drunkards, and gross materialists. Sometimes I walk out in the morning, early morning, and the drunkards are just rolling on the ground in the sidewalk, and I have to step over them, just like Prabhupada did when he was when he was in the Bowery. So it makes me remember Prabhupada's preaching in the Bowery. Sanatana Goswami considered himself fallen, for in the association of such men he also fell victim to material enjoyment. Having passed his life in that way, he considered that he had wasted his valuable time. This statement about how one can become fallen in this mature world is made by the greatest authority in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In other words, what he's saying is by association, even an elevated person can become fallen by bad association. Actually, the whole world is presently fallen to material existence. Everyone is a meat eater, drunkard, woman hunter, man hunter, gambler, and whatnot. People are enjoying material life by committing the four basic sins. That's intoxication, meat eating, gambling, and illicit sex. Although they are fallen, if they simply submit themselves at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will be saved from sinful reactions. I submit myself to Lord Chaitanya. I am Lord Chaitanya's servant, Prabhupada's servant. Abhanara hita hita kichwi na chani guramya vyavahare pandita tai sacham hani. I do not know what is beneficial for me or what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me a learned scholar, and I am also thinking of myself as such. Also, this is very much connected to what Queen Kunti says in her prayers, Janmaishwarya Shurasa Shibir, Enamana Adapuman, that people become proud of different things. They become proud because of their birth, so-called good birth, Aishwarya, money, Shrutasha, learning, and bodily beauty. And the interesting thing is the time factor takes all those things away. So it was never yours to possess in any case. Kripa kari yari mori kariyacha udhara apana kripate ka kartavya hamara. Out of your causeless mercy, you have delivered me from the materialistic path. Now, by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is. Kayami kayamaya jaritapatraya iha nahijani kemane hitahoya. Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? So Sanatana Goswami is taking a very humble position. So we should also take that humble position. Actually, everybody in this world should take that humble position. The real purpose of life, atato brahma yajnas, is to find out who you were, who you are, not were, but who you are, why you're miserable, how to get out of the miseries, etc., who God is, you know, what the purpose of life is. Otherwise, if you don't ask those questions, you're no better than a dog or a cat. Or a cockroach. Because the animals are asking questions too. That's a fact. Have you ever heard them? They ask questions like, where is food? Where is my mate? where is defense or whatever, my enemy? So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Like when you hear the birds chirping, chirp, chirp. Why do they chirp? Well, they may be establishing their particular boundaries of their area, or maybe attracting the male bird or the female bird or whatever. It's like when a frog makes its sound, rivet, rivet. He's actually trying to attract his frog wife. That's his music. The threefold. So there are questions and answers going on even amongst the animalitos. The threefold material miseries are miseries arising from the body and the mind, miseries arising from dealings of other living entities, and miseries arising from natural disturbance. Of course, in Sanskrit, it's called adiatmagadibodhik and adidaivik. Sometimes we suffer bodily when we were attacked by a fever. And sometimes we suffer mentally when a close relative dies. Other living entities also cause us misery. Tell me all about it. There are living entities born of the human embryo, of eggs, perspiration, and vegetation. Miserable conditions brought about by natural catastrophes are controlled by the higher demigods. There may be severe cold or thunderbolts, or a person may be haunted by ghosts. These threefold miseries are always before us, and they entrap us in a dangerous situation. Padam, padam, yadvi padam. That's from the Bhagavatam 10. 10:14:58. There is danger in every step of life. Wow. Enough to make put you in anxiety all the time. Saja sarana tatvat puchite na jani kripakari savatatva kahata apani. Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Please be merciful upon me, and please explain all these truths. So there's two words here which we should learn. There's sadhana and sajja. The word sajja means the goal. And sadhana means the process for attaining the goal. Like we have our sadhana bhakti. We practice, we undergo the process, and then ultimately we attain what? Krishna Parema, which is the sajja, the goal. So remember those two words. Two words. Sadhana and sajja. Sadhana, the practice. Sajja, the goal. Important words to remember. Prabhukai Krishna Kripa Tumati Purnahaya Sabatatva Jana Tomara Nahi Tapatraya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Now, why do the threefold miseries not exist for Sanatana Goswami? Because certainly his body will get old. Certainly it's too cold sometimes. Certainly people may not like him for one reason or another. Why? Because the attachment is gone. The miseries occur because of attachment. Just like if you're playing a video game and someone kills you in the video game, you feel miserable, because you're attached to that particular character in the video game. If someone hits your car, you feel miserable because you're attached to the car. But if you give up the attachment, you give up the miseries. Because we're identifying, not only attached to this body, but we're identifying, it's me. And so we want to somehow or other mitigate the miseries through material means. I mean, for example, let's say, you know, I'm getting old. You know, some wrinkles. So I'll go and get some wrinkle cream. People have this idea of mitigating the material miseries through material means. Doesn't work. It just doesn't work, because then you get more anxiety. You have to pay for the material means. Krishna Shakti Dara Tume Jana Tattva Bhava Jani Darje Dhagi Puche Sadura Swapava. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. In other words, Sanatana Goswami knew the answer to these things. He was very educated, read the Bhagavatam all the time, certainly he knew the Bhagavad Gita. So, but he was asking for two reasons, because it's the etiquette to ask, that's the first reason. But another reason is, when you hear the same information from a pure devotee or from the Supreme Personality of God directly, as Sanatana Goswami is going to do, it actually has a greater effect. That's the point. So one should hear from a pure devotee of the Lord. And then, as we mentioned many times before, the sound vibration goes from the ear to the heart. For example, if you hear the Bhagavad Gita from someone who's not Krishna conscious, there'll be no effect. It'll be a waste of time. Just like I read the Bhagavad Gita before I came across Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And it was an English translation, of course. And basically didn't understand it, didn't change my life, didn't have any effect. So what was the use? Yeah, it was a good intellectual exercise. But there was no use. But as soon as I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, the words jumped out at me. And I understood things. So that's why Sanatana Goswami is inquiring from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Achuradeva samsarvata siddhyatyesham abhipsitaha sadharmasya vapodaya yesham nirbandhani mataki. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who have thus unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. This verse, quoted from the Naradiya Purana, is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.103. Yogya Patra, how to me bhakti pravartaite krabe savatatva shuna kaye tumate. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service, therefore gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. Jivara Svarupohoi Krishnera Nichidas Krishnera Tatasta Shakti Veda Veda Prakasha Suryangsha Kirana Yaichi Agni Dwala Chaya Svabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakara Shakti Hoya. Very important verse. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation, simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy, or energies. So, let me explain that. Prabhupada would often use this particular statement to illustrate the point that we're always serving. Our constitutional position is to be a servant. And if we're not serving Krishna, guess what? You're serving Maya. You're serving your tongue, your belly, you know, all the different aspects of the external, of your mind, is what to speak of your mind. Oh, my mind. So, it's a very, very important point. And our nature is, oh, it's the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because as Krishna says in the Gita, what is it? Ami Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're part and parcel of Krishna. But we're very small. Molecular particle of sunshine or fire. That's what it means. Part of Krishna. And parcel connected to Krishna. And Krishna has three varieties of energies. And Vishnu Shakti Para Prakdakshi Chakra Yagya Tatapara Vidyakarma Sanganya Tritir. So, those three varieties are the internal potency, the external potency, the material energy, and us, the jiva souls, who are one of Krishna's energies. And we're actually spiritual, but somehow or other we're associated, because we're marginal, with the material energy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, Sri Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? In answer, the Lord replied, you are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body. Gross material body means panchama mahabhuta, things you can see, blood and guts and all those other nice things. Nor the subtle body. Subtle body means the astral body, composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Therefore, you are his eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. And here it's explained. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material and spiritual world. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are a spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. In other words, quality is the same, quantity is different. Easy to understand. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself and the small particles of sunshine and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire. That's called the spark. Spark. Another explanation of these verses can be found in the Adi Lila chapter 2, verse 96. Ekadeshe sitayagner jyoshna vistarani yata parasya brahmana shaktish tatenam akilam jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over this universe. In other words, everything is the Lord's energy. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 1:22:56. Krishnara svabhavika tina shakti padinati chitshakti jivashakti aramaya shakti. These are the three potencies which I just described. Lord Krishna naturally has three energetic transformations, and these are known as the spiritual potency, the living entity potency, and the illusory potency. We described that before. Vishnu Shakti Parabrahmadashi Shakti Akitata Parabhijakama Sankanyatra Thira Shakti Ishate. There are three potencies: the spiritual potency, the material potency, that's a vidya karma, that means ignorant activities, and the marginal potency, which can choose to go either way. Sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur would describe the jiva shakti, or the marginal potency, or tatashta, let's use the word tatashta, as the borderline, compared to the borderline between the sea and the shore. It's an imaginary line, but it's there, because something's either wet or dry. So the living entity has the choice to choose one of the two. Even though we're of the spiritual potency, here's the verse actually I just cited. Wow, to see how prescient I am. Vishnu Shakti Parabhrukta Shetragyakya Tata Paravijakarma Sanginya Tritiya Shakti Rishate. Originally, Krishna's energy is spiritual, the energy is known. As a living entity is also spiritual. Yes, we are spiritual. However, there's another energy called illusion maya, which consists of fruitive activity. That is the Lord's third potency. It's called avidya karma, which means ignorant. Let's see how it's translated here. Yes, same thing. Ignorant activities. Known as ignorant activities. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6761. For a further explanation of this verse, refer to the Adi Lila chapter 7, verse 119. Shaktai sarabhavanam achinja jnana gocharaha yatoto brahmanas tastu sargadya bhava shaktayaha pavanti tapatam shreshta pavakasya yatoshnata. All the creative energies, which are inconceivable to common man, existed the supreme absolute truth. These inconceivable energies act in the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of chief of the ascetics, just as there are two energies possessed by fire, heat, and light. These inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the absolute truth. That is so true. Of course, the Lord's creative energies enable the material world to be created, enable the living entities to take shape, even though they're so complex, and I've talked about this many times before, that even one cell of one part of our body has infinite complexity to it, and shows that there is actually intelligence behind everything. This is also a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 1.3.2. Yaya shetragya shakti sa vishtitan ripa sarvaga sangsara thapan nakilan avakno chatra santatan. O king, the Kshetragya Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nescience potency, which covers his constitutional position. In other words, we are influenced by the illusory potency of the Lord because we want to enjoy separate from the Lord. Like we were wanting, we were in the spiritual world, and we wanted to emulate, copy God. So we were sent to this copy place. And we're not talking about Kinko's or anything like that. We're sent to this place which is a reflection of the spiritual world. That's described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives the example of a banyan tree that appears upside down with the roots up and the branches down because the banyan tree is reflected on a body of water. And so that's where we are. The following verse, this and the following verse are also quoted from the Vishnu Purana 6.7, 62-63. For an explanation, see Madhyalila chapter 6, verses 155-156. And so, see, write this down. This is where we're ending today. On text 114 is the last text we read. And so, who has questions as soon as we allow you to ask questions? And we're going to have to end a minute or two before 6 or a minute or two before the hour, depending on where you are, because we have a program this evening. So, who has a question? All right, someone has a question in the text window. Hold on a second. Hari Krishna Maharaj, is it possible at least to some extent to detach oneself, oneself in case of damage to property or video game loss? But when in pain, the body like toothache, it is not possible to detach or develop the thought, I'm not this body. Please clear my understanding. Well, it's not possible for us. That's true. But for a pure devotee of the Lord, one who has given up his attachment, I mean, you actually find people suffer so much due just to the mental attachment in this world, not even the physical attachment. I mean, let's give you an example. Okay. Let's say someone who you love passes away. Now, it's not a physical attachment. It's mental attachment. Because of that mental attachment, you suffer like anything for some time. And practically that's more than the physical suffering. So you can't get rid of it. You just can't get rid of it that easily. So the attachment to the body, of course, is really strong. And if one is completely Krishna conscious, then one can give up that attachment, but you know, because we want to enjoy, you know, enjoyment and suffering are two opposite sides of the same coin. So because we want to enjoy something, then we get the suffering. And relationships are like that too, because you want to enjoy a relationship, then it causes suffering when the person turns against us or like that. But certainly, attachment or, pain in the body is something that's extremely difficult to bear. Let me give you the example of Srila Prabhupada when he was having a spinal tap, which is actually extremely painful. I've never had it, but I've heard it's extremely painful. Devotees asked Prabhupada, "Is this painful?" And Prabhupada just said, "We tolerate." So Prabhupada, even when there's a story, even when Prabhupada had his body had a toothache and the jaw was swollen, the devotees had to insist that he would go to the dentist, and then they pulled the tooth out or whatever they did, and then the jaw went back. So we see in Prabhupada's life, of course, we felt pain to see Prabhupada in physical difficulty, but in Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada was completely detached from the external body. And of course, as far as Sanatana Goswami and others, yes, because that's how you become free of the threefold miseries. But that takes time. It's not enough to intellectually understand. You make the point. It's not enough to intellectually understand you're not the body. So therefore, when we are consoling people, we don't preach to them. That's a mistake that many neophyte devotees make, that they preach to people when they're consoling people. For example, let's say you're in a hospital in extreme pain, and I go come to you and say, "Prabhu, you are not the body. This is just Maya." Or let's say one of your loved ones passes away, and I said, "This is, these relationships are just temporary. Who knows where the person is? Probably in a cockroach body in next life." Or something like that. That certainly will take you away, will drive you away from Krishna consciousness. Okay. Okay, here's another one. This is an interesting question. "Hare Krishna Gurudev, I was in intense pain in the body due to work stress today. I listened to Krishna Priya Mataji's Bhagavatam class. I felt like the dead body that needs touch of a guru. How to lose attachment with the body in pain?" I don't worry about losing attachment. I don't worry about that. I worry about becoming attached to Krishna. You have to be attached to something. The nature of the soul, can we say one stage we are simultaneous? We're acting for all intents and purposes like we are the body. But anyway, so the whole point is we are not Buddhists. We are not Mayavadis. We are devotees. So we don't worry about getting free of the threefold miseries. We concentrate on getting attached to Krishna and Guru. And even in the material world, when you find that someone is very much in love or very attached, then whatever else is happening in the world recedes into the background. So it's automatic, and there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavatam, "Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Janam Chalyad Ahoitakam." By performing devotional service to Krishna, one gets automatically causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. So please don't get into this thing and worry too much about the threefold miseries. And please don't hammer devotees on the head. We're not Mayavadis when they're experiencing some pain or they're having some pleasure. Don't go around telling them that's Maya. There's some devotees eating some nice prasadam and enjoying the taste, and you just tell them, "That's Maya, you're enjoying the tongue." Don't do that. It really doesn't help people advance in devotional service. So basically what you need to do is, instead of preaching to people like that, is you need to be compassionate with people. Yes, they're suffering. Okay. So, all right, hold on a second. We've got a whole bunch of things. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how do we deal with the disturbance of reading school shootings and not worry? We should worry. We're in the material world, worry. I'm not, you know, the really, you know, people just take these things out of context too much, you know, detachment, you have to be detached, you know, like the husband has to say to his wife, you're not the body. If the wife says, you know, do I look good? The husband just says, that's Maya, you're just a bag of stool mucus and urine. You know, that's for immature people who don't understand anything about Krishna consciousness. Whoops, sorry. If we really want to help people be Krishna conscious, then we act compassionately and engage them in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So yes, it's good you're worried about the kid's safety. That's very, very good. Are we artificially attached to Krishna? How do we know if we are attached to devotees and Krishna or are not pretending? How do we know? One of the symptoms of knowing is that you do become detached from the material world. Things that were so important to you before are not important anymore. And also another thing, worried about your kids is actually very good, because your kid is supposed to be a devotee and it's your responsibility to take care of them materially and spiritually. So that's actually a spiritual thing. Attached to Krishna means we're attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's a practical thing, attached to serving the devotees, etc. Okay, got to end, got a program. Thank you very much. Interesting discussion tonight. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.